Welcome to Asimov's Spotlight. Here now, another story selected from the pages of Asimov's science fiction magazine.
Happy National Poetry Month. We have a dozen poems here pulled from past and current issues to celebrate our poets this year. Each of these poems is striking in its own way, and I hope you enjoy the many voices and styles to come. First up is All Saints' Day by Lisa Bellamy, read by Diana Marie Delgado, followed by All the Weight by Holly Day, read by Emily Hockaday, The Celestial Body, read and written by Leslie J. Anderson, The Destroyer Is in Doubt About Net Neutrality, read and written by Martin Ott, Unlooping, read and written by Marie Vibert, Attack of the 50-Foot Woman, read and written by Ron Kirchy, The Language of Water by Jane Yolen, read by Monica Wendell, Archaeologists Uncover Bones by Focals, A Tricycle, read and written by Stephen Withrow, Objects in Space by Josh Pierce, read by R.J. Carey, Small Certainties by Sarah Polsky, read by Emily Hockaday, Palette of the Babelfish, read and written by Todd Dillard, and finally, After a Year of Solitude by Laura Gray, read by Jackie Sherbo. Enjoy.
All Saints' Day by Lisa Bellamy. Today they jostle among us until sundown, listen to our chatter, nudge each other, read the news over our shoulders. They window shop, zoom through revolving doors, sniff new perfumes, slip into silks, swanky dresses, and at noon on Third Avenue, walking to Hale and Hardy, I smell my mother's cigarette smoke. Hey, you, not so fast, I say. Did you love me? Did I walk into a room, and I was the one person you wanted to see? The old question. A great cloud of witnesses holds its breath, waits for her answer, and, as if she were a hurricane and I a tree, she blows through me, a wordless storm of regret.
All the Weight by Holly Day. When I was very young and had first learned about atoms and molecules, I imagined that I could see the empty spaces in solid objects, the great swaths of nothing inside of everything, the thin currents of electricity that barely held things together. I imagined that I could put my hands through the wall or my foot through a table, or fall into nothing like a ghost. Sometimes I can almost feel myself as that child, can almost see those yawning gaps in the bones of my house, in the sidewalk stretching off to the bus stop in the morning, in the bus itself as it comes lumbering down the street. And I wonder if it's only blind faith that keeps me from exploding into a clutch of disconnected atoms flitting off into the cold daylight like tiny moths or motes of sparkling dust.
The Celestial Body by Leslie J. Anderson. When food becomes numbers, when warm rice and salt and lemon juice are quantified, they become ghosts on the tongue. In the sky, hungry, the moon dreams of sewing furniture to the wall. She wanes. She becomes sharp. Hunger does not bring clarity. The bed pulses brackish and oily. The night consumes her. Everything is reduced to its measurable amount. In the end, we are equations in a single equation, a zero, a whole, and a void.
The Destroyer is in doubt about net neutrality, by Martin Ott.
The Destroyer is not used to questioning the best path to mutually assured destruction. The Destroyer has begun to believe he can live in a phone, in anyone's pocket, in everyone's incomprehensible dreams. He cultivates frenemies and responds to fan fiction in the third person. The Destroyer didn't always shake out the keyboard for crumbs in preparation for the apocalypse. He is a moderator and asks irresistible questions. Do you like dogs better than people? Anything to get people voting against themselves. The Destroyer's love affair with capitalism is in conflict with free access to disinformation. He stirs the pot, and the pot is an ocean, and there be pirates and clipper ships and hulls hiding ill-gotten gains. The Destroyer goes over his data allocation in order to fight with distant call centers in many languages. He believes Grumpy Cat is a manifestation of his existential angst. The Destroyer watches his hand on a mouse and sees a mountain range belonging to an invisible god.
Unlooping by Marie Vibert. My life, black vinyl record. Your life, it gave me this scratch which traps me each pass on your cord. What's past is future is past. An unwanted time travel catch keeps me from spiraling inward. Your impact harder each pass. Which past is future is past. Time is all travel. All lives are scored with tragedies lost and dispatched. All we forget and all we record. Rewind and force this reword. What's past is future. Is past.
Attack of the 50-foot woman. After that alien in the desert and the inevitable radiation, Nancy's life is a spiral staircase leading up from jealousy and booze and spangly capri pants to her new career as a giantess. She'll get around to her husband and that floozy he's always glued to, but first, she tells herself, let's enjoy being huge. Look how people reel when they see her. And what a pleasure to step on that creep who scurries around, still trying to look up her skirt. Heading for Tony's bar, she straddles a woman hanging out laundry who is at first terrified, but soon fascinated as Nancy leans and carefully blows on the clothes, drying them, making the surprisingly delicate underthings flutter like white birds.
The language of water. Soft as a rill in drought season, pounding as the falls when salmon, in their great anxiety, try to fly. The rounded vowels, that meander of a meadow brook, flail of waves on the shore mixed with the wounded cries of gulls. Soft burring of the R's and the kettle boil of water over river stones. Whisper of a pond's edge. The insistence of rain on a roof. If you do not listen, you cannot hear. There is a story in water. I have waited all my life to learn the variants of its tale. Jane Yolen.
Archaeologists uncover bones, bifocals, a tricycle. By Stephen Withrow. Once the brave spelunkers hit bottom, not even the light of history attended them, and the solar torches brought down would not ignite in the primordial dark. They were limited to touch and scrabbled along the cavern walls in outmoded postures, like bears or shamed penitents. Of course, their voices were nothing so old, and one whispered, "Something's here," in her grip what once was a child's toy.
Objects in Space by Josh Pierce. Your pressure suit holds you tight, like my embraces, in all the right places. Each air tank hiss is my breath on your skin, the cold vacuum leaking in. We used to spin round each other's barycenter, microgravity attraction, because no one else was there. Helmet broadcasting your crying, and picking up only, from far-watching stars, static signal, saying you should have known better. I'm never coming back for you. That glinting metal speck of a ship dwindling from view, small steps, the end of your giant leap, frayed tether like promises I made and could not keep.
Small Certainties by Sarah Polsky. The man who answers the phone in customer service puts me on hold again. He's the fourth one to swear his system shows nothing wrong with my on-the-fritz psychic connection, this high-speed line from me to the future that predicts morning traffic and each night's chance of rain. The technology improves all the time, says Rep. Number 4, back on the line, probably thinking I'm one of those callers who blames a low-cost ESP hookup for failing to deliver the big answers, the advance notice of catastrophe its customers are hoping for. No, I say, all I want is to fix this tiny orange light that's blinked nonstop since yesterday. I want to know whether next week is the right time to get tomato plants and sound quotes for roof repair. I want prediction as advertised. Ordinary clairvoyance and small certainties. A gentle smoothing of the way.
Palette of the Babblefish, a poem by Todd Dillard. It's too simple to say I subsist on brainwaves. It's the words that flavor your thoughts I truly crave. The sizzling char of a cataclysm, the way mantequilla sexes the tongue like a knife cutting through a cold stick of butter, then spreading the spat across a slice of bread. Even the names of earthling gods are delicious, how Fenrir elicits a gasp, then snarl, or how Zeus jolts the tongue. Give me the sour surprise and scream of your yokai, the spicy choke and purr of your tiger. Because my kind are universal translators, they say we've started more wars than any creature in creation. Know this, language has always been the bloodiest of battlefields. But also know this, without war, a babblefish's favorite food would be in scarce supply. Hope, that sweet single bite. How it swells to fill the mouth. How it seems to end suddenly, as if too soon.
After a Year of Solitude by Laura Gray. The onboard medic says not to worry. Outworld parasites can't survive a human host. It won't be long before it leaves me. When I first started trucking, I hauled solo. I didn't want the company. But it's been 6 weeks since I picked up this freight on Io, 6 weeks of feeling this life inside of me, snug against my shoulder blade, pressing a thumbprint only I can identify into bone. Some nights, I dream of it crawling carefully out of me. Some nights, I dream of a small, alien hand in mine. I don't want to be alone anymore.
Thanks for listening to Asimov's Spotlight, a feature of Asimov's Science Fiction Magazine. If you liked what you've heard, consider subscribing to Asimov's. We're available in print and digital. And please stop by again next month to hear another exciting story chosen from our pages.